We're going to look at something today that I think we're going to take our time on this. This is going to be a couple of messages, so it's not going to be a one and done or a 2 week and done. This is probably going to be a couple weeks, maybe 4 or 5 Sundays, so we might go through the whole month of August talking about this, but I think it'll be good for us. We're going to start talking about faith. And we have talked a lot about different things here. We've talked about having a champion attitude. We've talked about creating the world you want to live in. We talked about obeying God. We've talked about so many different aspects. But one of the things that is so important and that we have to kind of go back to, and I stated this on Wednesday, how many of you guys know foundation is important? Foundation is important because if your foundation is off, even though the building looks good, if the foundation is off, the building is a little wonky. I was telling the group on Wednesday that there's a Viking village, I think it's over in Scotland. All the buildings lean. And they call it like, it's like it looks wonky. It kind of messes with your eyes. You're like trying to look at it. And what happened was the foundation of the buildings are good, but when the community at that time was growing, it had a massive trade and it started expanding. They had to build things very rapidly and they got the wrong kind of wood and they started building this these houses with the wrong kind of wood. And I think it was called green wood is what it was called. And the wood, when it dries, it bows. And so what happened is they built everything and it was flush and nice looking, but the wood started to dry. And when it set this way. So all these houses have solid foundations, but the buildings look like they're leaning, but they're really not. How many of you guys know in a building like that, you want a good foundation? And foundations are so crucial. So when you look at a building, the foundation is important. Now, how many of you guys know this? Bigger foundation, bigger building. So sometimes things, you know, that we're building on, sometimes we've got to lay a good foundation. And some basic foundations, especially for Christianity, one of the basic things is, yes, you talk about salvation, but you also got to help people understand faith. Because faith is throughout the whole Bible. And, you know, faith is kind of one of the foundations that you lay. It's part of the foundation. You have prayer and you have learning how to follow the Lord and follow His voice. All of these things, I call them basics, but they're really foundations. And they're very important because how many of you guys know if you understand faith, it can affect your whole life. And it changes your life and it causes you to be able to understand the Bible more. It causes you to be able to receive from God. Because how many of you guys want to receive from God? We all do. And so, you know, where sometimes people will say, well, how do I receive from God? Well, when you talk to people about faith, a lot of times when people talk faith, a lot of times people will repeat things they have heard. How many of you know sometimes that's good, but with the area of faith, you got to know it for yourself. Amen? And so that's one of the things you have to get is one thing you have to do, you have to get into the Bible for yourself. It's not enough for just to be able to quote what Pastor Matt said. You want to quote what God said. Amen? So, you know, when I go to God, and I tell people this all the time, when I pray and talk to God, I don't go to God and say, God, brother so-and-so said this, so I'm going to bring this to you. Or, God, brother or sister so-and-so said this, and this is what I believe. I go to God with this. God, this is what you said. You said it, so I believe you're going to do it because you said it. You see, I've gotten into the Word for myself. I've taken time to study the Word and look into the Word. So, you know, number one, you're going to have to get into the Word for yourself. You got to do that. That's like very, very basic, but it's always a good reminder. It's good to come to church. It's good to hear the Word taught. It's good to listen to ministers. It's good to spend time listening to messages online and things like that. But anytime you hear a message, always go study it for yourself. Because I don't know about you guys, like, does anybody, right now we use a lot of digital Bibles, that's why I say this, but I have a lot of, like, the physical Bibles, you know what I mean? And the reason I bring a digital, it's just easier to scroll through everything, and I mark my verses, and it's just kind of very easy. But I have a Bible at my house in a section of the house, we call it the man room. It is a man room, but probably soon it'll be like another baby room or something. I told my wife, I said, I'm getting moved out of the house, man. Everything, I'm losing ground here. But I have this room called the man room, and in that room is there's a Bible, and it's sitting on the corner of my desk. Well, that's my Bible, and in that Bible, I know where everything is. You know what I mean? Like, I know where it is. Why? Because I've read it in there. So when somebody says, well, what's some scriptures on faith? I know where it's at in that Bible. I know where I've marked it. I know what kind of page it's on. And that's kind of like what you want to do with the Bible is study it to where you know where it is. Amen? So we're going to talk about faith. And we're going to talk about the first thing with faith. We're going to talk about the entrance of faith. The entrance of faith. So the question you need to ask yourself, and I've heard people ask this, is where does faith in God come from? Where does faith in God come from? Well, some people think you can pray for it. Others think it's a gift of gift from God that some have and others don't have. And, you know, we need to find out what the Bible says about faith. And one of the scriptures that we go to all the time at LifePoint is over in Mark 11. And let's look here. Mark 11, starting with verse 12. We're going to go through verse 12 and 14. And then we're going to jump down to verse 20. But Mark 11 and verse 12 says this, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." Verse 14, "In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples," notice what happened here, "and his disciples did what? They heard it." Look down in verse 20. "Now in the morning as they passed by," so some time has passed from when they walked by the fig tree, Jesus cursed it, the disciples heard it, there's been time here. In verse 20 it says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter." Now, like I say all the time, I can relate to Peter, because Peter in the Bible is always putting his foot in his mouth. You know, Peter is. He just asks questions all the time. But I love Peter because, you know, it kind of, for me, I relate to Peter because he's always curious. He wants to know more. He's asking questions. And he says to the Lord, he says, and Peter, remembering, said to him, so he's going to ask him a question. He says, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So he's kind of like amazed, like, okay, you cursed this. We heard you do it. And now there's nothing left. And look at verse 22. What did Jesus say to him? "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" Here, Jesus demonstrated the supernatural power of God in dealing with a tree that did not bear fruit. The disciples were amazed that what Jesus said caused such a dramatic change to the tree. They were kind of astounded. You know, they had heard it. And they walked by, and then they went on, and then they came back later in the morning, and guess what? The tree was dead. And Peter asked, "Hey, that tree you cursed, it's dried up." He's asking him, how did this happen? And Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God." In verse 22, Jesus identified faith in God as being the way that this happened. He said what? "Have faith in God." So look at this. There's two things you can get from what Jesus said. Number one, Jesus explained that he had released the power of God to change the tree by using his faith. So how did the tree change? He used his faith. You have to understand something. Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And a lot of times people will say, well, yeah, that was Jesus. Well, we're going to look here in a second, because having faith in God is not just something that he limited to himself. He told us to have faith in him. Amen. So this is for us. So it's not just a Jesus thing. This is for us. He also stated that it's possible for others to have faith in God and do the same thing. So faith in God is necessary to get the results that God has promised. Let me say that again. Faith in God is necessary to get the results that God has promised. Faith in God is essential to accomplish victory and success over the impossibilities of your life or that are in your life. Jesus went on to give an explanation of faith and how to operate it. So there's three things we're going to talk about this morning in regards to this scripture. Number one, anyone can have faith in God. Mark 11, 22 and 23. "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" Look at verse 23. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever," says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Look at this. Jesus said what? Have faith in God. He didn't say this. I have faith in God. Notice that. It was not something that only he and the Father were able to do. He did not say, you 12 disciples have faith in God. That means that having faith is limited to one certain group or an era of time. No, he simply said what? Have faith in God, or have faith. What's that mean? So this means that the reader is the understood person being spoken to, and they can have faith in God. Now that ought to make you happy. So that means this, if you can have faith in God and God's going to tell us how to build our faith up in him, then you can get the results that he got. See, it's not just limited to Jesus, because a lot of times that's what, you know, the enemy does, is he'll limit you by saying, well, that was Jesus. You can't do what Jesus did. Well, Jesus said, have faith in God, but then he also told us that if you have faith and don't doubt, you can speak and do what I did to the fig tree. You can do the same thing. So he's going to tell us how to do it. Now, I'll tell you this much. Something I've learned about the Bible is this. God's not going to put something in there if you can't do it. Now, you got to do it with him, but he's not just going to throw something in there if it's never, like, have faith in God. Ha ha, try to figure that one out. You never will. No, he says, have faith in God. Let me show you how to have faith in God so that you can get the results and you can overcome impossibilities and do the things I've called you to do. Amen? So look at this. He said, have faith, which means it's for us. Verse 23 says this. I always underline this in my Bibles. Any Bible I get, whoever. How many of you guys are whoever? Whoever says, well, I'm a whoever, so that's for me. So whoever can have faith in God can what? Can experience supernatural results in their life. That's awesome. So number one, anyone can have faith in God. Number two, faith will come to you. But here's let's read this. So verse Romans 10, 17, faith will come to you. How does it come? Let's look at Romans 10 and verse 17. You've got to see this. Romans 10, 17 tells you, how many of you guys always in school, did you guys ever have open book tests? Open book tests were awesome. Those were the greatest. When you would walk into high school and they'd say, today's open book test, I felt like the angels opened up heaven. I wasn't even saved, but I was like, I felt like God heard me or something. I was like, thank you, Lord, you know, at that time in my life. Because open book test meant I was going to get an A. Hallelujah. And the only way I didn't get no A is I just got impatient and wrote some answers down. And sometimes that was the case. But, you know, this is like an open book test. And God says, okay, you can have faith. Anyone can have faith. And now he says, I'm going to tell you how it's going to come to you. I'm going to tell you how to get God kind of faith. So I love that. Romans 10, 17, he tells you how. So faith comes by what? By hearing what is told, or by hearing the word, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. That's the Amplified. Now look at it in the King James. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen to this. The New English Bible says it this way. We conclude that faith is awakened by the message, and the message that awakens it comes from the word. So when you hear the word, what's it do? It awakens faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. What's the will of God? What the word says. So every time you hear that word, faith awakens. Isn't that awesome? Look at how it says it in the Contemporary English. No one can have faith without hearing the message about Christ. So you can't have faith if you don't hear. The Young says this, so then faith is by a report, and the report through a saying of God. The Weeks version says it this way, so belief comes from teaching, and the teaching through the word of Christ. So faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can attract faith or make faith come to you. You don't have to strive for faith. You don't have to go after faith. You don't have to search for faith. When faith comes, you know. Well, how does faith come? By hearing the word. Let me say that again. Faith comes when you hear the word. Now understand, we're talking Bible faith. We're talking supernatural result faith. And something that I had to learn is that comes by hearing the word and hearing the word of God. Now how many of you guys know when I talk about faith in the natural sense, a lot of times faith, for example, somebody might say, well, I have faith in this chair. Well, that's natural faith. That's man faith. But we're talking about like supernatural faith. We're talking about faith in God. Well, how do you get that to get those supernatural results? You only get it one way, by hearing the word, by hearing the word of God. When you hear the word, it awakens faith on the inside of you. So he tells us, number one, that anyone can have faith, but then he shows you how you get it. Well, how do you get it? By hearing the word. And this is what's really great. Number three, faith comes to us as we keep hearing the word of God. The key right there is to keep hearing it. You know, one student, there's a story, one student in class said loud enough for the professor to hear him, I've already heard that. Thereupon the instructor loudly and empathetically replied, faith does not come having heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's how you get faith. That's why, you know, you really honestly, you can hear the same scripture 5,000 times and get something new from it every time. Faith comes by hearing. When you hear, you hear. So our job is to continually hear the word. There is no such thing as hearing and believing the word and faith not coming. If you hear the word, faith will come. It attracts it to you. Faith. It comes. So the more you hear it, the more you're doing what? Building my faith up. Faith will come as you hear the word. Ephesians 1:13 says this, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Notice that. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you believe the scripture, like you believe your own name, then it'll start to work for you. That's how you know. When you know, like for example, and we've used this illustration before, but it helps us out. You know your name, do you not? So if I see Lonnie, and I'm talking to Lonnie, and I say, you know, hi, I'm Matt, what's your name? And Lonnie goes, Lonnie, and I'm like, you're not Lonnie, you're Steve. Lonnie's like, I'm not Steve. No, you are Steve. I'm Lonnie. No, you're Steve. No, I'm Lonnie. Lonnie and I probably would get in an argument. But Brother Lonnie's going to tell me, my name's Lonnie, and I could say to Lonnie, well, how do you know you're Lonnie, Steve? And Lonnie would say to me, because my mom and dad, when I was born, called me Lonnie the Miller. And then I would say, well, but maybe they messed up. Maybe they said the wrong name. No, my mom and dad named me, and they called me Lonnie from the time I was a kid till how I am today. I've been Lonnie from when I was born, and I'm Lonnie to this day. Well, how do you know? Well, because if I go down to the courthouse, there's a birth certificate. See, when Dax was born, one of the things that, what did we do when he was born? They said, we need you to fill out the records for the birth certificate. We want to make sure his name is right. Why? Because when Daxton Victor White is called Daxton Victor White, it is documented, stamped, and sealed that his name is Daxton Victor White and no other name. So Dax right now has heard me call him Dax from the time he was born. And when if my wife's parents are back there, her mother and sister brought my son today, but if they were back there and they brought Dax in, all I got to do is say, Dax. And what does he usually say? Dad. So Dax knows who he is. Now here's what I'm going to find out is as Dax gets older, he knows his name is Dax. He is so convinced that you'll never be able to change. Somebody could tell me my name is something else, and I'll be like, you're crazy. You fell off the bed and hit your head. Like the courthouse has my records, my parents. I know my name is Matthew Robert White. And when I got in trouble, I heard it all the time. So I know that's my name. And I am so convinced that nobody can change it. That's how you know when you got faith in God's word. When that happens, and that registers on the inside of you, you are so convinced that what God said is true that nothing will change. that's, you'll go, man, faith is there. Well, how do you get to that point? By hearing and by hearing and by hearing the word of God. The more you hear that word, faith comes. Faith is awakened when you hear that word. You will be so convinced. I've heard people use the illustration. It's like, you know, like a pit bull with a bone. You know, my dog, our dog is Sadie, and she's a little older now, so she's a little more chill now. But Sadie is lab. She's a lab pit bull mix. So she's like the gentlest dog in the world, loves you to death, will lick you like crazy. But if you wrestle with her, you're going to lose because she wrestles hard. But if when I was younger, this has been a couple of years back because I was younger a couple of years back, you know. Yeah, I'm older now. See, I'm wiser. But I had like dog toys, and I would give her a dog toy, and we would pull. You know, you guys ever do that with a dog? Well, when dogs have a certain breed in them, some dogs just lock. You could hang that thing from a tree, and they'll just spin on it. And you're just like, you can let go of it. That's how you have to be with the Word of God. Hold on to it. You don't let go of it. When you're so much convinced that you never let go of it, that's how you know faith is there. It's just like with your name. Faith will come as you hear. So eventually you will believe it, and you will have faith in what the Word says. The more you hear it, the more you're going to believe it. Never underestimate the value of hearing the Word again. As faith comes, it will grow. Listen to this. As faith comes, it will grow until it is bigger than your problem. That's how you get faith bigger than your problem. You hear it over and over and over. When faith comes, listen to this, it will change your confession. Then it will change your problem. You can tell something you find out in life is this. I've seen this. I've done this. I know because I've heard this said and I've seen it and it's true. Most people will just paint a picture with their words of what they believe and what they're going through. If you spend time with them long enough, you guys are really like, you're like, oh, but Pastor, it was such a good message, and then you said that. But do you understand what I'm saying? You will paint a picture with what you say. Yeah, because why? Because what you meditate on, what you listen to, what you put in you is what comes out of you. And when you get around somebody and all they talk about is da-da-da-da-da, that means they're thinking about it all the time. When you put that word in you and you meditate on that word, and you listen to that word will get so big in you that it'll be bigger than any problem you face. But then you will believe because you'll start saying what the word says. And when you do that, that's when your problems change. I like to think of it this way, and I've heard it said this way, and you've probably heard me use this before. But when you're squeezed, it's what comes out of you. See, here's the thing. Life has a good way of being a pressure cooker to push what's in us out. Anybody ever notice that with life? You find out real quick. Ooh, Jesus, you find out real quick. You know? And I love it because, you know, as believers, I've done this, so I'll just preach to myself. But, you know, you have like a week where everything is just like good. You have those where you're like, the job was so good. I got a raise and I bought what I wanted this week. And my spouse loved me this week, and they treated me real good this week, and they told me how awesome I was. And I was like, thank you so much, babe. And she was like, you're a great husband. I was like, I know, but thank you again for telling me. And I mowed the grass, and the grass looks awesome, and the front yard is so good. And I had good barbecue, and it was perfect. And the ribs were so good, they fell off the bone. And they just, oh, it was a good week. And I came to church, and God moved, and people were worshiping, and oh, it was just, oh, it was awesome. And you're like, woo! And then next week comes, and you get up like I had this last week, and you get up, and you're like sweating bullets at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're like, man, it's hot in this house, and your air condition's broke. And you turn the fan on, and you're laying on the couch just sleeping like this, just sprawled out like do not move an inch and try to sleep. And then you get up, and you got all these things going on, and then da-da-da happens, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens. And all these things happen. And what happens? What's in you comes out. You know, what's in you comes out. I have found out with being married is that what's in me will come out when I'm around my wife. Because she squeezes on me and she loves me, but sometimes she'll do things. I'm like, whoa, Lord Jesus. Love just gets squeezed out of me. She's not here, so she can't defend herself. She's going to be like, did you talk about me in your message? No, babe, I didn't talk about you. But you know this much, if you put the word in you, it will get bigger and it will eventually come out of you when you're squeezed. That confession will come out of you. So what happens is this, when you have a good week, the word's coming out of you, but when you have a bad week, the word still comes out of you. See, your circumstances don't change. Oh, your circumstances don't change what you say. Too many people, their circumstances determine what they say. And what you want to do with the word is hear it so much that whether you're having a good week, the word's coming out, or whether you're having a week where you're kind of getting that pressure cooker, the word's still coming out. Your word is the word of God that comes out. So when you have a situation, it's the word that comes out. Now, I love, you know, when you have a situation and you find out that the word's not there and you're like, oh, pastor told me the word's supposed to come out. It didn't come out. The wrong thing came out. That's okay. You just make that adjustment and feed more on the word. Keep asking God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I shouldn't have said that. Thank you. Help me. Keep feeding on that word. Because eventually we know what? Faith. When you hear the word, it attracts faith. Faith will come to you. And the more you hear it, the more it's going to get bigger. And the more bigger it gets on the inside of you, the more it's going to change. Because why is it going to change? It's going to change your confession. And when it changes your confession, it changes everything. You say, well, does it work? Well, look over here in Acts 14. Verse 8 through 10, talk about the man Listeria had faith to be healed when he heard Paul preach the word. It says, in Listeria, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And he leaped up and walked. So what happened to the man? Well, first, he heard. The Bible says right there, this man heard of Paul speaking. He heard Paul speak. Well, what was he hearing Paul speak? Paul was preaching. He was preaching the word. He was teaching the word. What happens when you hear the word? What comes? Faith. So faith was coming. So he's hearing the word. So what's happening? Faith came. Well, then Paul observed that he had faith because, look, he says, then he had faith to be healed. Paul noticed he had faith to be healed. So faith, he picked it up. And I'll tell you this much, you can tell people that got faith. Amen? Sometimes, I mean, you might say, are you talking like super spiritual? I'm just meaning you can talk to somebody and know where their faith is. It's really quiet in here. Like, usually when it's quiet, I'm always in trouble. So my mind's like, what did you do? No, but you know, you're thinking. It's true, though, because when faith is there, faith, when you hear that word, faith is present, you can tell where people's faith is at by what they're saying. And here's something. I'll just kind of throw a side note in here. So I'll kind of come over here for a second. But, you know, somebody will say to me, I was thinking of this week as I was kind of reviewing everything. I have had this happen where you'll have somebody come to you and ask for prayer for something. Well, here's the thing with prayer. When I pray I get results. It's not that I'm haughty and prideful. I just know what the word says, and I know God's faithful to his word, and I know if I pray the word, God's going to hear me, and I know I'm going to get results. It's not like I'm super spiritual. No, I just know what the Bible says. So when we come together and pray, I believe that God hears us, because 1 John, the scripture I love is 1 John 5, where it says, if you pray in accordance with his word, it's confident. We can have this confidence that if we pray anything according to his word, he hears us. And then it says, if he hears us, we know that we have whatever we ask him. So that scripture tells me if I pray according to the word, he hears me. If he hears me, I have it. So that means when I pray, if I pray according to the word, once I say amen, what happens? It's done. So be it. So, for example, this week, my wife went on vacation with some friends. She went on vacation with a friend. They went to Silver Dollar City to ride roller coasters. I don't know. And she said the other day, she said that she was riding one roller coaster and they didn't secure and she was tightening her legs to stay into the roller coaster because she was afraid she was going to fall out. And I said, well, you need to tell Miss Judy, because Miss Judy said she was going to pray for you. So I said, Miss Judy's prayers is what kept you in that roller coaster. So I said, Miss Judy, she said, I need to work on my leg strength because I couldn't hold myself. I was like, I would have been saying, Jesus, help me. His eyes on the sparrow. But anyway, so my wife, she left. She went on that trip. And my son, he stayed with me one day. Our son stayed with me. And then I took him up to Kat's parents for 2 days. So he got to hang out with Grandma and Grandpa. So he was having fun. And he came into church today. He was like, you don't give me the things Grandma and Grandpa gives me. You know, he had this look on his face like, we need to talk after church. But anyway, so when Dax left and my wife left, I got up the morning before they left and I prayed. I prayed according to the word of God that they would be protected. And I prayed that the angels would camp around about them. No weapon formed against them would prosper. And that my wife's parents were led by the Spirit of God and they would be around him and know what to do. And I just prayed for him. I prayed for my wife to have a good time. And all of these things. And so I prayed that prayer, and I just said, amen. Well, I know I prayed according to the word, so according to Scripture, what happens? God hears me, and if he hears me, I have it. And so I said, amen. So you know what I did the rest of the week? I didn't think about it. And when my wife called and said, we have a flat tire, and then we're in Springfield, Missouri, and we have a flat tire, I knew God was still faithful, God was watching over him, and God would take care of him. God, it's not that God didn't hear my prayer. I told Kat, I said, kind of interesting. I said, I'm kind of glad you had a flat tire where you are. Because they drove at night and they didn't get to their destination until 2 in the morning. I said, you could have had a flat tire at 2 in the morning. That would have been interesting. But they had the flat tire at the place they were staying. I said, that's God's hand upon you. Watch. I said, God knew. And then she said, there's a place down the road where they got the tire changed, and the guy was really nice and helped them out and was honest with them. And I said, well, if you have a piece about it, then we got to get a tire. Then we buy some tires. So she bought some tires. And then she had some other things happen. And I just kept thinking, I prayed. God's faithful. I'm not doubting God. I know God has gone out before you. You're going to have a good week. And Dax is taken care of. So the other night when I was at the house, I was by myself. And, you know, it's kind of weird when you're used to having your wife with you after you're married and then you have a child and everybody's gone and you're by yourself. Like, everybody always tells me, like, you rejoice when they're gone. You're kind of excited because you're like, I'm by myself. But then you're like, what do I do? Like, I'm, like, staring at the TV and it's blank. And I'm like, I don't want to do nothing. I don't know. I was like, I don't know what to do because usually I'm wrestling with my kids. So I was like, what do I do? And the thought came to me, the enemy. This tells you how the enemy works. He came to me and he said, what about your son? I said, well, what about my son? Are you sure he's okay? You might want to go get him. And how he's bringing these thoughts. But what did I remind myself of? I prayed according to the word of God, and God has heard me. And if God has heard me, then God answered my prayer. And my kid will see me tomorrow morning, and he's fine, and everything is taken care of. And I'm going to bed, and I'm not going to worry about this. What's that? Having faith in God. Now, here's the thing. Somebody might hear that and say, man, you're so spiritual. How'd you get there? It's not that I'm super spiritual. It's just the fact that I heard the word enough. That scripture has become so real to me that it's bigger to me than anything in my life. It's just big. Now, how did I get there? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. How many times have I heard that scripture? You know how many times I've read 1 John? You know how many times I've heard that scripture? Every time I hear it, what happens? Faith comes. And that's what this man did. He heard Paul preach. Faith was present when he heard him preach. Well, what happened? Faith came as he heard him speak the word. Then Paul grabbed him and told him to get up, and the man was healed. So, you know what's good is we can build our faith up. We can do it. And that's what's great. So, with faith, we said three things. We said, what was the first one? Number one, we said this: anyone can have faith in God. Number two, faith will come to you. And number three, it'll come, what? As we keep hearing the word of God. The more you hear it, the more you're building that faith up. Eventually, I will tell you, eventually, it will register. It's one of those things. Somebody will say, like, how do I know when I have faith? Is it like my head will know? It's here. It's in your heart. Your heart will know. The more you hear it, it's It's the best way I can describe it. It's on the inside. You'll just know that you know that you know. Amen. It's not just agreeing up with it here. It's spiritual. So it gets down on the inside of you. So the more you hear that word, the more you meditate on the word, the more you keep listening to that word, what happens? Faith comes. And what it is on the inside of you. And eventually you will hear it one day. And I always tell people, it's like the best way I can describe it, it's like fireworks. It just goes off on the inside of you, and you're like, whoo. And you know how, I'll tell you how you want a good like tester of how you know you got faith, like for something, you'll get real excited about it. Some of y'all are like, I just get excited about the coffee this morning. I need some more coffee, Pastor. But what I'm meaning is this. You'll get real excited when you hear that word on the inside. It will go off on the inside of you, and you'll go, oh, I see myself blessed. Oh, I see myself healed. Oh, I see myself this way. It'll make you so happy that you can't contain it. And what happens is it changes you, but it changes your confession. And then when people come up to you and be like, oh, man, the economy's a mess. Yeah, but my God, we'll supply all of my needs. And it goes off on the inside of you. And people look at you like, you're crazy. I may be crazy, but my needs will be met. And then somebody will look at you and you'll walk into a place and the doctor will say something and you'll say, yeah, but by the stripes that were laid on the back of Christ, I have been healed. And you'll say, you know what? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And it's not just words coming out of you. It's on the inside of you and there's faith there. And then when it's not just when you're at church faith. It's when you're at work faith. It's when you're at school faith. It's when you're at Walmart faith. So when somebody asks you at Walmart, it's not, woe is me. It's, look how big my God is. And then you come back to church and it's the same. So it works all the time. And that's what I love is when you talk to people that stir themselves up. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, go home and just listen to the word. Here's something you can do. This is practical. The Lord just kind of brought this to my remembrance. you can read the word yourself. Do that, definitely. Definitely read the word yourself, your Bible, on your phone app, however you got to do it. But here's something really cool that YouVersion Bible on the App Store on Google and for Apple, YouVersion Bible has versions you can download, but then you can download, it's all free, y'all, which is amazing, but then you can download the audio version. So what you can do is you're like, but Pastor, I drive a lot. Pop that sucker and listen to it in your car radio. Listen to the word being read to you. Listen to the word being read to you when you're going to sleep at night. Put it quietly. Here's something you find out, and we don't talk about this today, but when you're asleep, your spirit's still alive and well. And so when you're listening, you might think, I'm asleep, but your spirit's catching it. And it's like, woo, just come on, feed it to me. Keep going. And the more you can hear it, the more you can listen to it, the more. Just keep hearing it. I mean, just get the word. Amen? And just kind of, in a sense, take a lot of it in. And you find out this much, you can't overdose on the word. You can't. The more you hear it, the better it is. And eventually what will happen is one day you're going to hear that scripture that you've heard 5,000 times. And you'll hear it, and all of a sudden, boom, it'll go off, and you'll go, whoa, I see myself. I am so convinced that God wants to take care of me that, wow. And it just registers, amen? And it's just so good. And so we're going to keep talking about faith. So today we talked about the entrance of faith, how it comes, which is by hearing the word. I encourage you this week, go home, get your Bible out. Read your Bible, listen to it if you got to. You know, you can listen to people preach and teach. That's good. But like I said, make sure you take time to study it out for yourself. And something you can do too that helps, and it's helped for me, and I do it. I'll read the Bible to myself, but this is how I do it. So I'm just going to let you in on a secret with Pastor Matt, and then we're going to pray. But what I do is I read my Bible, and a lot of times I'll read it, and then sometimes I'll read it to myself out loud. But sometimes what I'll do is if I read it, I take notes, I write down things, and then I close my Bible, and I don't do this when my wife is home or my kid, because they would probably be like, what's he doing? But then what I do is I go up front and I preach what I just read to myself until I get happy. I preach it to myself. So I'll say, the Bible says that my God will supply all of my needs. And supply means he's going to give to me richly. And all means all of my needs. So, Lord, I thank you that you will supply all of my needs according to your riches. And I read that scripture out loud to myself. And I say, Lord, I thank you that this word is true. And I preach it to myself until I get myself happy. And then in my house, I'm thanking God. What am I doing? I'm reading the word, but then I'm hearing the word. And then I know faith is coming to me. Amen? So if you got to do it that way, do it that way. But you find the way it works for you just so you can keep hearing it and listening to it. Amen? Did you get something from this today? We're going to continue it next week. Talk more about faith. Let me pray with you guys. Let's everybody close your eyes and bow your head. And let me believe God with you. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the word today. Thank you, Lord, that we learned about the entrance of your word. That the word, when we hear the word, faith comes. So I thank you, Lord, that as the men and women in the sound of my voice go home this week and they listen to the word of God, I thank you, Lord, that it's building faith up on the inside of them. I thank you, Lord, as they keep hearing, they keep listening, they keep meditating, they keep talking the word, faith comes. I thank you, Lord, that faith comes. And Lord, I thank you that it'll register on the inside of their heart. At some point, it'll explode on the inside of them. It will become so real to them that it will be bigger than any problem they face, any obstacle they face. And Father, it'll change their life because it'll also change their confession. I thank you, Lord, that the word is working in them and working around them. And Father, it's your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for the word. That the entrance of your word, it's the entrance of your word. So we just thank you for it. And we give you praise today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.